Right, the subject I've been given to preach on this evening is one body, many parts. I've got a bit of a bizarre introduction, if you like, into the subject tonight, but I hope you'll get the gist of it. And I'd just like to share something with you. Now, some of you here think I, Roger, am a one-trick pony when it comes to sport. Now, the dictionary interpretation or definition of one-trick pony is someone who is only good at one particular thing. Well, I just want to enlighten you before we get deeper into what the Lord would have us to share this evening. Quite a number of you here know that I play golf, and most of you probably think that's the only thing I do. Not all the time, but I mean, that's the only sport that I play, golf. I've only played it about four times this year, but thankfully with my brothers in Christ, Paul Davey, Warren Carter, and others in the fellowship, and it's really good to go around the golf course for 4 hours chatting. Doesn't matter where the ball goes, left, right, sometimes not in the right direction, most of the time not in the right direction, but it's good to be able to share with your brothers in Christ and have a great time of fellowship together. But that is not the only sport I've played in my life. Now, I don't know what it was or why it happened, but a week ago I woke up, knowing what I had to preach on this evening. Woke up middle of the night, about 2 o'clock in the morning. And the Lord said to me, when it comes to sport, Roger, you've played so many different sports. And I thought, why should I share that in my ministry tonight? But I thought, well, I will. So I'll just enlighten you, but I will be brief, because otherwise you'll be here till too long. I've played lawn tennis, I've played football, I've played table tennis, snooker, badminton, squash, bowls, pool, and recently I've reached the semi-final in the men's shed of the pool competition. We're still yet to play the final. So what I'm basically saying to you to start off our evening together is, when it comes to sport, I'm not a one-trick pony. I have many sports that I've acquired to blossom in over the years. But my favourite sport was cricket. I played a lot of cricket. My first love in sport was cricket. I was born into it, actually. My grandfather, my father, and my uncle all played the game. And when I was 8 years old, I was taken to Lords Cricket Ground. For those of you ladies here who don't know what Lords Cricket Ground is, that is the home of cricket. That is the where the Ashes are. And if you know what the Ashes are, when we play Australia, every so often, and the boughs that were burnt when we first lost the Ashes way back in 1898 or some way back. Anyway, I went to Lords Cricket Ground when I was 8 years old. There wasn't all the stands built there that there are now. And it was so long ago, it was before apartheid, because we were playing South Africa. And Jimmy McGlue got 142 runs, the opening batsman for South Africa. And he was bowled on the last ball before lunch by Frank Tyson, and it was caught by Godfrey Evans behind the wickets. So it's strange what I remember in sport, but that's me. That's my how I'm wired. Do you remember Ryan when he was with us? He was always saying it's how you're wired. How God's wired you. But I do enjoy sport. And my first love, I've already said, was cricket. And just to enlighten you, I had a chance to play for Kent. Kent Colts. I was spotted by a Kent scout after he saw me take 7 wickets for 13 runs in a score match. And he came up to me after the match. I didn't know him from Adam. And he said to me, would you like a trial for Kent? Well, sadly, I turned him down. Because, I mean, what does one do when a complete stranger comes up to you and asks you a leading question at the tender age of 13? I often wonder what would have happened if I said yes, whether I would have played for Kent. I did play against Derek Underwood, who was a spin bowler for Kent, and Dave Halfyard, who was a fast bowler for Kent, in my time when I used to play cricket. Well, I've got a wonderful anecdote for you tonight to all this. My school report, which read thus, and as Paul Daniels used to say, you'd like this, but not a lot. And this is my school report. Now, and I treasure this report, actually, because it sums me up to a T. If Roger's prowess in sport can be reflected in his academic, he will go far. Well, sadly, it wasn't. But I did carve out a career in accountancy and was in that profession, all my work in life. Praise the Lord. So that's just an introduction of what I want to share with you tonight. Now, if you have a Bible with you, please turn to the letter Paul to Romans, chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And starting to read from verse 3. Remember the subject tonight, one body, many parts. So sport is one thing, and I had many parts, if you like. That was the introduction, while that introduction was there. Many things are identified in sport, with the overall banner of sport. So chapter 12 of Romans, verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many parts, or many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it proportionate to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. We were hearing that this morning, weren't we, when Sophie shared about sharing, that we should give generously. If we've got much, we should give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And the verse out of that passage I like to really highlight on is verse 4. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. Every part of the body is important, but not all have the same function. And I've given this example about cricket tonight, haven't I? And take cricket. Just think about a cricket team as a good example about each of us has one body but many members. A cricket team is a team made up of many members. Not all the players are bowlers. Not all the players are batsmen. Not all the players are slip catchers. Not all the players are boundary fielders. But all are needed and important for the team's success to play well. They all need each other. For if one element is missing, then things will go wrong on the field. And I can testify that personally. If one of those elements is missing, things will go wrong on the field and the team will not succeed. Imagine a fast bowler comes steaming into bowl, an outswing ball. For right-hand batsman, an outswing ball would be going that way. You with me? That way. Fast bowler coming in then. Batsman edges the ball, but there's nobody in the slips to catch that ball, take the wicket. The ball will fly past and the catch will not be taken because there's no fielder there. And the ball may well end up on the boundary for four runs. That's not how it should be, is it? Likewise, when your side is batting, it's no good having a team with no class batsmen. Runs are an important element of cricket. I don't know if any of you love cricket. I mean, I don't want to go on too much about it tonight. But runs are an important element of cricket. You need runs to win the game. And you need gifted batsmen in your team to score those runs. We've had some gifted batsmen over the years. I mean, in the early days, it was W.G. Grace, if you can remember him. I've read about him, but he's way before my time. But then you've got people like Geoffrey Boycott, who played for his percentage. He would stonewall all the time. If he couldn't hit a ball, he would let it go by. And he used to take all day to score 100 runs. But he was a class batsman. And we've had other wonderful batsmen in our time, and so have other countries as well. South Africans have had some wonderful batsmen as well. And in a cricket team, there's only one player is the captain. And the captain gives instructions to his players where to field, how to bowl, what the batting line up is to be. He may change the fielder's positions to accommodate an opposition's batsman's strength, where he tends to hit his shots to induce a full shot, which batsman's strength, where he tends to hit his shots, may produce a wicket for the team. In other words, if a batsman keeps flicking the ball to the point direction, which is just behind where the pop increase is, the pop increase is where the batsman stands, by the way. If he's hitting the ball continued that way, you would place a gully fieldsman ready to take the ball, and if it's off the deck, he will catch the ball and the batsman will be out. So a captain places his field to induce a wicket when the opposition is batting. A captain applies what tactics should be put into place. Tactics to save runs. Often, if a batsman is well in, rather, and he doesn't look as though he's going to get out, to save runs, he would place a defensive field. In other words, you would place fielders all around the boundary to stop the four runs, only allow him to get a single. Having men placed around the boundary. So if the pitch is taking spin, he will bring on a bowler to bowl spin, attacking bowler to take wickets. And when that happens, quite often, if the pitch is taking spin, what they call taking spin, he will have the fielders very close to the batsman, all around the back, so that when the edge comes on the bat, there's a fielder there to take the catch. And if the pitch is what's referred to as a seamer's strip, in other words, a cricket ball swerves away or into the batsman off the pitch, then the catchman will bring on his fast bowler, fast or medium pace bowling attack. Exhibit A. This is a Barney ball. He found this ball behind Staples Cricket Ground in the woods behind the ground. Obviously someone hit a six and Barney was on it. I took him over, then he found this ball. So when a fast bowler comes in and he wants to bowl an away swing, pretend you're a right-handed batsman. So he's facing this way. He will place the seam, which is this goes around the ball, in that direction. So when it hits the pitch, it will fly off and go away from the batsman. On the other hand, he can place the ball the other way around, the seam the other way around, when it's going inwards. When the ball hits the pitch, it will go in towards the wicket. So that's seam bowling. You're getting very instructed about cricket, aren't you? That's seam bowling. I was a spin bowler, by the way. Leg break bowler. In my time. So the captain then controls the side, and the side obey his commands so that the team is successful. So then, as with most team sports, every player is important. Every player's gifting is used for the success of the team. Every player needs the rest of his teammates. They all need each other. Does that ring a bell? Does that ring a bell with you? We all need each other. Just like our bodies, we are one body, but many parts. All parts are interlinked. Every part is necessary for the body to function properly. The analogy of a cricket team I've just given mentioned the captain has a vital role. He is in charge. Of course, this reminds me and you, of course, the body of Christ, you and I, we have a captain who controls our lives, and that is our Lord. We're one body here in SFC, but we've got many parts. Parts controlled and blessed by God. Amen? Now, if you have a Bible with you, look again at 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm going to read from verse 12. I'm in Romans. That won't do. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. It's entitled in my Bible, One Body, But Many Parts. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they are all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. We're all part of the body of Christ. And it's true, isn't it? If one part suffers, we all suffer. Now, Wendy's had to go home tonight. She's got a problem with her foot. And we suffer along with Wendy. We pray for her because she's suffering. She's in pain. We've been praying for Dennis, our pastor, who's going to Oxford Street tomorrow back to see his specialist. And we're praying for him because his knee is causing a lot of pain still, even after 11 or 12 weeks since the operation. One part of the body suffers, we all suffer. And we as the body of Christ empathize with those in the fellowship who need our prayers and need our help when they're going through problems with our bodily health. So then, brothers and sisters, tonight here we have it in this passage of Scripture. We're reminded that we have many parts. Verse 15 said about the foot, says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand. Does not make it any less a part of the body, does it? And the ear, what would you think if your ear said, I'm not part of the body because I'm not only an ear, I'm only an ear and not an eye. Would that make it any less part of the body? And the eye, so suppose the whole body was an eye, then how would you hear? Or if your whole body was just one big ear, how would you smell anything without a nose? We are told God has made many parts for our bodies, and he has put each part where it wants it to be. We are wonderfully made, aren't we? David puts it in the Psalm 139:14. I praise you, this is David's psalm, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. And that's so true, isn't it? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. You think of all the parts of the body, and how it's all knitted together, and every part needs each other. God has made many parts, but still there is only one body. And as I've already said, all parts of our bodies are necessary. Even your big toe is important, for it helps you to balance. Arthur Burton, my father-in-law, shot his toe off. Didn't do it on purpose. It was an accident. He was a farmer, and he shot his toe with his shotgun. He must have been reloading it or something, and he shot it, and he had to have his toe removed. His big toe removed. A little anecdote to that was Burton, the surname. My wife was a Burton. So my best man at my wedding, he said, oh, Roger's gone for a Burton. But quickly, because I didn't prepare anything, not like now, I have to prepare things, but when I was younger, things would come to my mind. I never prepared a speech as the groom. But he said to those gathered, Roger's gone for a Burton now. He's got married. And I said, no, I haven't. I said, I've bowled a maiden over. Bringing the cricket theme back in, you see. Anyway, we've got many parts then. And I read this recently in a magazine, a Christian magazine. If you take every country, language and race who claim Jesus Christ and the Christian faith, it is estimated that the number would be 2 trillion people. So I put it to you, dear friends, this evening, that's a lot of parts, 2 trillion people. Well, even in the local unit of the body of Christ, there are very many parts. Here in SFC, we have many parts. I'm looking around here tonight. You are all a part of God's body in Christ here in SFC, and you've all got wonderful gifts in that body, in this body here at SFC. And it's not confined to us here at SFC in Staplehurst. Staplehurst is made up of more than one church. Think of the United Reformed Church. Think of the Anglican Church. There are many parts within those fellowships too. Well then, not only many parts, but we have many valuable parts. Just because we have many parts, though, doesn't mean that some are not necessary. The one body of Christ is made up of many valuable parts. That is a major theme of this passage in 1 Corinthians 12. Every part of the body is essential. No part is more or less important than the others. All parts are necessary for the body to function. All parts belong. All parts are valuable. We've been learning that in Acts 2, haven't we? The Acts 2 church. Relationships with each other. We're all valuable to each other. We all need each other. Example for you to consider tonight. Have you ever put together a jigsaw only to discover that there was a piece missing? Isn't that so annoying? You hunt for it. Maybe it's still in the box. Maybe it fell on the floor. Maybe the dog ate it. Well, that's happened to us. Barney ate a piece of the jigsaw. We found it on the floor, all sort of crumpled up. We tried to smooth it out, but it would never fit together again. It was sad, but we were not able to complete that puzzle because it fell on the floor and Barney was on it. Bang. That was it. So the puzzle wasn't able to be complete. How annoying, isn't it, when there's a piece missing when you're trying to put a jigsaw together? Every piece is important to make that lovely picture. And it's the picture is marred by that one missing piece. But when you think of an analogy of a jigsaw, no matter the colour, the pattern or the shape, every puzzle piece is valuable. The same is true with the parts in the body of Christ. But we all know that some body parts get more regular use than others. It's true, isn't it? I suggest or suspect most of us use our mouths for chewing or talking a whole lot more than we use our legs and arm muscles for exercising. My wife would say yes, that is so true. Looking at me, of course. But that doesn't mean our arms and legs are unnecessary. We very much need them, even if they're weak and flabby. Well, the body of Christ is similar. Some parts get used and develop more than others, but every part is important. You've probably noticed some of the parts of Christ's body are out front and noticeable. They make a joyful noise, like our choir. It's true. We do make a joyful noise. Dear Judith, she does struggle, but she does try to get us to sing in tune and in time and smile all at the same time. We have a worship group. They're up front. Those who teach Sunday school classes and the creche. Those who lead prayer meetings. Those who lead house groups. Those who welcome folks at the church door. Those who preach the word of God. Those who serve as elders or deacons. But there are other parts of the body also within the church context where are quiet and behind the scenes. But that doesn't mean we could not get along without them or that they are less valuable. These quieter parts make repairs to our facilities, count the offerings, prepare food for fellowship meals, visit shut-ins, invite friends and families to worship, sign checks, pay the church bills, put the chairs out for each meeting and put them away again, clean the church on a regular basis. I could go on and on. There's so much service for the Lord going on here at SFC. May it continue. Every part is important, and every servant's heart amongst us is important as we serve the Lord to make the whole a wonderful picture. So then, strong or weak, quiet or noisy, backstage or in the limelight, every member of the body is essential. Therefore, the body is made up of many valuable parts. Amen? We're all valuable parts to God. Isn't that just encouraging? But note one other thing. The body is more valuable together. That was born out in Acts 2, as we've been studying Acts 2 for quite a while. That it was good for that they met together, they shared together, they listened to the apostles' teaching, they prayed together. So it's more valuable when all these parts are together. Even valuable parts aren't much good all by themselves. Our body parts are more valuable together. I think you would agree with that, wouldn't you? It's no good my foot being over there if my leg's over here. It needs to be together. The wonders of modern medicine allow doctors to take kidneys and livers and even hearts out of one person and transplant them into another person. The organs are often placed in ice chests and then transported by helicopter, car, motorbike, or even aeroplane, many distances. Somehow the organs are kept alive during that window of opportunity. If the transportation takes too long, the donor organ may die. For I expect you know, body parts can't live alone. They need blood and they need oxygen. They need the other resources and functions of the body to be strong and vital. Therefore, the analogy of all of this is we, the parts of Christ's body, are most valuable if we are together. Earlier in this chapter of 1 Corinthians 12, Paul writes about spiritual gifts. They are given to each member of Christ's body. And this is important. Listen to this, friends. No member is without some kind of gift. Each of us here, sitting here tonight, have got a gift. God has given each and every one of us a gift. No one of us here can put their hand and say, I haven't got a gift. Each one of us has a gift. Be assured of that. And those gifts are recognized by your friends amongst us here. We recognize the gifts that God has given, a God-given gift, and it's to be used. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, it says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each of one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given the Spirit, the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another the interpretation of the tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. He gives them to each one just as he determines. God gives us these gifts and we're to use them for him, for the common good. Every one of us then has been given some special ability. And these gifts, as I've already said, are given for us to not to hoard, but to be enjoyed by others, to share with others. Verse 7 of that chapter 12 says, the Spirit is given for the common good. It's for to be shared so that others can receive a blessing from God through you. The gifts we've got need to be shared. On our own, we may not even realize that we have any spiritual gifts, but when we get involved in the body of Christ, we become aware of needs. That's when we see those opportunities for service and ministry. We feel called and motivated to use these talents, skills, and interests the Holy Spirit has given us. And that makes us stronger, both individually and collectively. Again, reminding the Acts 2 church, together they were strong, together they were blessed, together they were encouraged, together they learned from the apostles' teaching and moved on in God. Together, it's important to be together. And it's good that we gather together in the Lord's name to receive from him and to enjoy each other's presence, because we're all one in Christ and we're all serving the one Saviour and Lord. So the body of Christ and has many valuable parts. Each one of us has value. We collectively have a lot more value being together. And as Christ's body, we are united by the Spirit. What we need to realize is that the body of Christ isn't just a bunch of random body parts thrown together. We are united by the Holy Spirit. Just let that sink in. We're united by the Holy Spirit. It's a Spirit that moves within us. It's a Spirit that empowers us. It's a Spirit that gives us wisdom and understanding. Do you remember Apollo 13, the American spaceship that went wrong? Do you remember that a few years back now? The spaceship was in jeopardy and the astronauts could have easily died. One of the complications was that the air filter had stopped working and the carbon dioxide level was dangerously high. The scientists at Mission Control had to quickly find a way to make some square filters to fit round a hole. They could only use items that were valuable on the spacecraft. So back on land, in Mission Control, it took some doing for the team at Mission Control. They were able to put some odd pieces together, create a solution, and then taught the astronauts who were circling the Earth through the same life-saving procedure on the spacecraft. Don't you think the Holy Spirit is kind of like that mission control team? The Holy Spirit takes our body parts who are available, note available, and turns us into something both life-saving for us and life-giving for others. I'm sure it would be good to have more talented body parts and more of them. I'm sure it would be good to have parts that work together more smoothly. But in this body of Christ at Staples Free Church, we have what we need. God has provided all the parts that we need in this body of Christ to work together to serve him. God has not left us wanting in any area. We just have to allow the Holy Spirit to do some creative engineering with us. Do you get that one? We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to do some creative engineering with us. I don't know if it's right to say this, but I've written it down anyway. Share that the Holy Spirit is just like duct tape, twine, Gorilla Glue. The Holy Spirit can be the adhesive that unites and holds us together. So then, what's the conclusion to all of this? Well, when all systems are functioning properly, we are the many valuable parts united by the Holy Spirit. We are the body of Christ. We are one, but we are many. We are many, but we are one in Christ. We, dear friends, are the body of Christ. Amen. Praise God that we are united and we are functioning as a body of Christ here at Staples Free. And when we work together and share together and are knitted together, joined together by the Holy Spirit's adhesive powers, we can be mightily blessed and used of God. And we can encourage each other and bless each other and see God moving in this house of prayer, in this body of Christ here at Staples Free. One body, but many parts. And I'm glad that I've got each one of you as one of parts of the body of Christ here. Because without any one of you here tonight, we wouldn't be as God would have us to be. God has placed each one of us here. God doesn't make mistakes. He's threaded us together in cords of love that cannot be broken. It's a wonderful Heavenly Father. Now we're going to come to time of communion together to remind us how we have come into this living relationship through the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary. We all recognize tonight, I'm sure, that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, far off from God, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for you and for me. And so we're going to share communion tonight and give thanks to God for his gift of life for each and every one of us, that we might truly be the body of Christ.